Come on to my house, to my house. I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, to my house. I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today we're up in beautiful Cave Junction, Oregon, and we're talking with Lena Hurd, and we're going to talk about some traditional foods that she grew up gathering from the area along the coast of Northern California and Southern Oregon. One of the things that you've gathered in the past is bay nuts, and I think people are pretty familiar with the pepperwood tree, or people are used to seasoning things with the leaves, but the nuts of the tree are kind of an interesting thing. How did you gather those, and how do you use them?
Well, actually, I did it with my friend Verna. She's the first one to show me how to do it. And I didn't know you could eat those. She said, oh, yeah, these are really good. And we went out and we gathered into little green balls everywhere. And then you open them up inside and they have this beautiful nut inside. And it almost looks like a hazelnut, sort of. But we would bake them or you would fry them in the pan. And it's just really a good tasting nut.
How would you describe that?
It's a little different. I mean, like I say, they look like hazelnuts, but they don't taste like hazelnuts. They're pretty meaty. They're a little on the bitter side, I think. I always like with salt on them, so.
So that's more like a savory thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you also use some of the bay leaves.
I use the bay leaves for my baskets. Uh-huh. I put them all through my basket case and around because it keeps the bugs out. You know, the bugs don't like it.
Yeah. Something else that you've done in terms of foraging for some of your food is seaweed harvesting. And that's something that I've done myself, too. And that's a lot of fun. Where do you do that?
Smith River Coast is where I've been. You know, I went with friends up there and we went and got seaweed. It was really fun to get. Good experience. I'd grown up with it, tasting it and eating it because my grandmother always had it. But I never really went and foraged for it. And it's been probably 20 years ago. I've been doing it since then. And it's just nice to you make your little patties and lay them out in the sun so that they dry and you have to keep going out and flopping them back and forth, and which I've always thought was had to be really hard in old times because there's not a lot of sun in the coast. But, you know, it's a good food and it's a hearty food and it's really good for you and it's good added to things too. Uh-huh. So.
And there's so much of it out there. I mean, I've gone out and I've gone foraging for seaweed too, and it's kind of like opened up a whole new world to me because you're pretty much wading through mounds of seaweed. What time of year do you usually do that?
Late spring, okay. Somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's when we go.
I think I've gone in like May or June.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when you went out there to gather it, did you rinse it in the salt water? Because I noticed when I've done it before, there are all kind of little critters on there. Mm-hmm. And so I actually brought mine home and rinsed it with fresh water, which everything I read tells you not to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how about you?
No, we'd rinse it there at the ocean.
At the ocean, in the ocean water, and get like some of those bugs and sand and all that sort of stuff off. Mm-hmm. And then you would make little cakes out of it.
We would make patties.
Patties.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you make little round patties and you lay them out on the table outside, and then you just flip them over to keep them dry and, you know, get that dampness out of them.
Okay.
Because then you could store them that way. And they don't get mildewed or anything. That
How did you store them? Did you store them in a jar, like a glass jar or something?
I always kept mine in a lidded basket.
Oh, okay.
Because I like the air keep going through it so it continues. Because if they're not dry when you put them in a glass jar,
they can mold.
They can mold.
Yeah. And then how did you use it? How did you eat it? Did you just break off chunks and
break
chew it?
Break it off and chew it.
It wouldn't last to cook it any other way.
You put it in soup.
Uh-huh.
Like I say, it's good in acorns and just dipping. Nanny used to like it just dipped in the bacon grease and it tastes pretty good.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of people frying it up in bacon grease.
They do that too.
That just sounds so interesting to me.
If you fry and dry it so it's like crispy, it's got a different flavor and it's really, really good. I mean, it's got a different texture even in your mouth. It's not as stringy as, you know, when you just chew it off when it's been dried. It's almost like it makes it crispy like a chip.
And so it would crunch in your
crunches.
Mouth.
It's really good.
And do you share seaweed with other members of your family, or does somebody go out and get some and bring back for others?
Yeah, because there's a lot of people, elders. You know, I used to get them from my aunties, you know, because they couldn't go out and go get. So, you know, Indian tea, that kind of different things I would get for them that they couldn't get. So.
And so much like a comfort food, too, that when somebody brings you back something that's from your childhood and it brings all those good memories with it.
Mm-hmm.
The tea, the Indian tea, what kind of a tea is that?
Well, we call it swamp tea, Labrador tea. That's the the proper name, I think, is what they call it. We always called it swamp tea or Indian tea, but it grows in wet areas, and the bushes, you know, where it's all at, there's like a little stream, and it's rocky, and the water goes through it. It almost has kind of a menthol smell to it when you pick the leaves, and then you pick it, and you dry it, and I dry it in a paper sack, and then keep fluffing it up by the wood stove, and then I just put it away in glass jars after that. It doesn't take very much to make a pot. You just take a handful and you stick it in and you seep it up and then you leave it in there because you could do it two or three times and it gets stronger each time you do it. But it's really good for colds or for breathing problems or anything like that.
And does it taste good?
It tastes really good.
Does it?
You don't have to put honey or sugar or nothing in it.
Nice.
It's got a really good flavor. It's really surprising. Uh-huh.
Are there mushrooms that you forage for?
I get morels. I have a lot of morels around here on the property. So, and then sometimes chicken of the woods, you know, that grows on dead fall, you can get some of those. They look like conchs as far as they're layered, but they're thinner than, and they're layers on top.
Uh-huh.
So they're just like this layer, and then there's another layer. And
oh,
then there's
I know what you're talking about.
They're very good. They're very meaty, but they have a really good flavor to them.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the morels, do you dry those or?
What I do is I'll cut them up and I'll freeze them. You know, I'll saute them and then I'll freeze them. They're good to add to any kind of sauces. They have such a good flavor. Have you ever ate them?
I've eaten them, but aren't they hard to clean?
No.
How do you clean them?
I like to lay out and whatever's in them crawls out.
Oh, there you go. Because they got all those little holes in them.
Yeah. And I've never had any problem because if you leave them lay out on the counter, everything comes out of them.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't stay in them. And then I slice them up crossways so that you have the little rings. And I just,
oh, pretty.
Yeah. So if you do that and you leave them lay out, there's nothing in them.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's just protein.
Yeah, that's true. One other thing food-wise that I wanted to check with you on is mussels. Is that something that you've gone out and collected?
Oh, yeah. You want to get it as low as tide as you can. You know, when you see it in the books and it says a red tide, that's an extra low tide. And you want to go way out to where you're actually still in water a little bit. And you always get on the ocean side of the rock and you take them off there because they're underwater mostly at that point. You get the mussels and then you clean them out, you know, and you can either fry them or
I want to know how you clean them out. How do you clean them out?
You pop them open.
Uh-huh.
And then there's that little round ball, this orange meat that's there. And you go in there and there's a little thing where they're attached. And you just grab that in there and you can pull that out from there. And then there's a little black area there and you pinch that off because that's the sand and all their
grit
and everything. They get rid of it there. And then you can slice that out. Then I like to dip them in egg and flour and cracker crumbs and I fry them. They're really, really good.
They are really good.
Really
and what
good.
Surprises me is that you see them everywhere, and I don't know that many people that collect and eat them. What a resource out there for people to take advantage of.
And it's so good tasting, so good for you.
Right.
So like any kind of fish, it's good protein. And I remember as a kid, I used to go get sea anemones. You know, my grandmother used to, you know, they'd be attached to the rocks, you know, and they got their little feeler things. And she would always had a really, really sharp knife. She would slice them off that rock because the knife would have to be really, really sharp. And she'd slice it off there and before they had a chance to shrivel up.
Uh-huh.
And then she would scrape them on the barnacles to take off all that little spiny stuff. And then she would flour them and fry them. And they were delicious.
Oh, wow. Mm. I've never known anybody. I didn't know that they were edible, I guess. Did she just like put them in a bag and take them home? And
yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever go eeling?
Yeah. Eeling I did when I was young, really young. I could remember going with Uncle Harold and going, we were in Hoopa, and I don't know the name of where we were at, but it was funny because he took us there, it was at night, and it was like rapids going through there, and he shined a light over on the rock, and there would just be hundreds of eels stuck to the rock because they were resting because they were going upstream, and it was really rough. And he had this long hook, and he would reach across there and hook them off that rock and throw them on the shore. And us kids would go run and pick them up and put them in a gunny sack and take them home. That was my eeling experience. So as kids, we did that, But I mean, I've seen eeling done otherwise. I've never done it, but I love to eat them.
They're
delicious.
Yes, they
I
are.
Have to say.
Especially when they're half smoked and baked. Oh,
exactly.
God.
Yeah. That is the way to do it.
You get horseneck mussels.
Oh, the horseneck mussels.
Yeah, we used to go down on
or
the
clams?
Beach. The clams.
Clams.
Yeah, horseneck clams, yeah. As you go down on the beach, and I remember we used to go and you'd look for that little circle in the sand, and you knew that that's our air bubbles, and then you go down and you had to dig really fast once you saw that to get them out. And we used to get those all the time.
How did you prepare those?
Same way. Mom would slice them up and we'd flour them and egg them and fry them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, or you can, you know, they're just as good too. If you cut up and make clam chowder out of them, they're good.
Oh, that sounds good too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is Jennifer Bell, and I've had the pleasure of talking with Lena Hurd in her home in beautiful Cave Junction, Oregon. Thank you so much, Lena.
You're welcome. Glad to have you.
Grapes and the cakes, hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought.